أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر قال ومن كفر فأمتعه قليلا ثم أضطره إلى عذاب النار وبئس المصير. وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم.
And remember the time Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, my Rabb, make this a town of peace and provide those who believe in Allah and the last day with fruits. So Allah Ta'ala's answer came that this dua has been answered. And furthermore, as for those who reject faith, then I will let them enjoy for a short while, and then I will drive them to the punishment of the fire. And an evil destination this is. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as per divine command and instruction, left his household, Hajira, and the infant Ismail alayhi salam, and with divine instruction he turned at once, not even to notify his wife that he is returning. The level of submission and the level of devotion to Allah Ta'ala. At once he leaves, and then when they can see him no longer, he turns towards the Baytullah and makes dua. The duas that he made, رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. Because Makkah Mukarrama was a place not cultivable, barren, arid land, no vegetation, no habitation. So obviously, it becomes difficult to continue and manage life. Man requires some type of community, some people, and he requires something for his comfort and the ease of the mind. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua is, make this a city, that there will be people therein, and further make it a city of peace. They have left their hometown and they have resided in a foreign land. So they will like these two things. One is that it be a city, and number two, it be a city of peace. Then thirdly, this land being a barren and an arid desert, then provide its people, those who believe in Allah and the last day, with provisions and with fruit. When we say fruit, in other words, the end product of all things. Hence we see that the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam had been answered, that the end product of all things are first landing in the markets of Makkah Mukarrama. Any type of fruit, any type of technology, whatever it may be, but the first market that will get these things will be Makkah Mukarrama, an answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The second point to reflect over is Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, Rabbi ij'alni muqeem as-salah, that let me and my household be ones that will establish namaz. But provisions, etc., then you sustain them. So he did not make dua that Makkah Mukarrama become a land that is cultivable, a land with streams and rivers, making it very fertile, a land with a lot of crops and vegetation. Rather, he made dua that let my progeny and myself, we all become people that perform namaz, dedicate ourselves to you. And not just performing namaz, but istiqamat, muqim as-salah, establishing namaz, doing it rightly with total devotion, and then let others provide for them. So to this day we see that these people who devote themselves, namaz, etc., for the service and the khidmat of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala makes their provisions easy, he lets others work for them. So they are working for Allah Ta'ala, and others will work for them. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعْهُ قَلِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala also says that as for the unbelievers, then don't be deceived, because the plan in this world is different to the plan in the hereafter. This plan, the plan of this world is to toil and to work, not to see results. So when it is not a place to see results, you will see your enemy also enjoying like you will enjoy. As for the fruits and the provisions of this world, then they will enjoy, the unbelievers, disbelievers, kafirs, mushriks, all will enjoy. But this is the plan that is limited to this world. As for the hereafter, then such people that rebel, disbelief and reject the plan of Allah, then I will drive them to the punishment of the fire. What an evil destination. Then the next dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, that was at the time that he was constructing the Baytullah. So remember the time Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam were raising the foundations of the Baytullah, and they made this dua: Our Rabb, do accept this service from us, for you are all hearing and all knowing. Look at the magnificence and the beauty of the selection of the words. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ minna. In other words, when the word taqabbal is used, it is to show that really we are not worthy of acceptance. When we are not worthy of acceptance, then let your grace shower us and make us worthy of acceptance, though we are not worthy of acceptance. Because this is a time when he is raising the walls of the Baytullah, and this is going to be the direction for all humanity right till the end of time. So his mark, and so his name is left in the Baytullah. So let this self-admiration, that I not be overcome and overwhelmed with self-admiration. So he's pleading to Allah Ta'ala that it mustn't be a name, it mustn't be my mark that is left in the Baytullah, and I'm not worthy of this. Rather, what I'm really in need of is your grace. If your grace showers me and favors me, then all this will be acceptable. Otherwise, there is no point in all this. So, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, to move away that self-admiration and ujub, and to show that it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that will bring about acceptance. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Further, the Anbiya, like their concern about themselves, then the greater concern they have is also of their own people, that they should also be people that will submit themselves, bow themselves to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, what is the use of the family and children when they don't listen to Allah Ta'ala, when they aren't submitting and bowing down to Allah Ta'ala? Then what's the need of such children? So Allah Ta'ala, وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ, let us submit, let us bow down to you in total submission, and make our progeny also submit and bow down to your law and to your command. At any time, at any place, our progeny must be such that they bow down and submit to Allah Ta'ala's plan at once. Immediately they hear that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, immediately they come to their conscience. In fact, that must become their conscience and their nature. They understand that the law of Allah Ta'ala prevails. When it is the law of Allah Ta'ala prevails, then we are the servants, as Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb, then we are His slaves. His work is to command, and our work is to accept and submit wholeheartedly without any type of hesitation, any type of reservation. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. And further, O Rabb, do show us our rites of Hajj, the places that we need to go to in completing and performing our rituals of Hajj, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa. What are we supposed to be doing? وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. And turn towards us with mercy and forgiveness, for you are the one that forgives readily, and you are most gracious and merciful. And ending of this dua, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. And our Rabb, raise in them a Rasul of their own, who recite to them your verses, instruct them in the scriptures and in wisdom, and he will purify them, and indeed you are exalted in might and full of wisdom. Rasulullah explained, he is haqiqat and he is reality. Obviously, he explains himself as per divine commandment. Says that I was declared a Nabi when Adam alayhi salam was still in the mold of clay. And I am the answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Our Rabb, raise in them a Rasul of their own. So I am the answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I am the prediction of Isa alayhi salam. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. I come to give the good news of a Rasul that will come after me, that is Ahmad, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am also that light that appeared from my mother. She had seen in a dream a light is appearing from her, and it is brightening the palaces of Rome and Sham. So I am that light that brightened the palaces of Sham and Syria. رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. So he'll be a Rasul from their own, he'll be of their own. When he'll be of their own, then it'll be easy for them to identify, to relate, and to accept him, because they will see all phases of his life. They will see him in business. They will see him in his social life. They will see him in honesty and truthfulness. They will see him in the concealed moments and his open moments. So they will see all sides of him. When they will see him completely from all angles and all perspectives, then there will be no doubts in their minds about the personality. We have seen him from childhood, we have seen him in his adulthood, we have seen him in his middle age, and he was a flawless person. Now he's making this claim, so there must be some substance in the claim that he is making. The first duty this Nabi will perform is Yatlu alayhim ayatik. He will recite to them your verses and your message. The word that is used is Yatlu. Yatlu is not just reading, rather reading the exact word. In other words, in the same language, and not just the same language, in the same dialect, and not just the dialect, but the same pronunciation. So tilawat is that which is read in the same language. So if someone reads a translation of the Quran, you will not call it tilawat, and you will not get that reward for the tilawat and the recitation of the Quran. You will not call that the Quran. So, the language has to be the same, the dialect must be the same that Rasulullah ﷺ had used, and number three, it must be with that type of pronunciation. Hence we see that it was the routine of the Sahaba Kiram, the recitation of the Quran Sharif was a daily routine. There were many Sahaba Kiram that would recite a Quran Sharif a day, and there were those that would recite in 3 days. And it was a common practice amongst all the Sahaba Kiram that not 6 days would pass and they would complete an entire Quran Sharif. This is where we find the 6 manzils of the Quran. That in 6 days, by the 6th day, the entire Quran Sharif has been recited from cover to cover. Also we understand that the recitation of the Quran Sharif is one obligation, and understanding the message of the Quran is a different obligation altogether. So to say that what is the point of recitation when you do not understand the wording of the Quran is to make a statement of ignorance. person doesn't differentiate between yatlu alayhim ayatik wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. So ta'lim is something else and recitation is something else. However, both are duties. To recite the Quran and then to understand the message of Allah Ta'ala is an independent duty. Hence, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has come also to teach them the scripture, that is the Quran Sharif. So we understand this knowing Arabic is insufficient to understand the Quran, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was speaking to a people that were predominantly Arabic, yet here to teach them and expound and elucidate to them the meanings of the Quran, making it very, very clear to us that you will have to have the wording of Rasulullah SAW to understand the scripture and the word. Without the wording of Nabi SAW, you will fail to understand what is the meaning of the Quran, what is the direction of the Quran. So he will instruct you in the scripture and in wisdom. Majority of the Mufassireen say that Hikmah refers to the Sunnah and the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that will come to elucidate the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran only says establish salah, but how many rakats and what should be recited first and what should be recited in ruku and sajda and how do you end the namaz, that is going to be given to you by Rasulullah SAW. This is what is meant by wal hikmah. Wa yuzakkihim, and the third duty of the Nabi will be to purify them. One is purifying them of polytheism, kufr, shirk, etc. Number two, to purify them from physical impurities and dirt. And number three, from spiritual filth as well. So the work of the Nabi is ta'lim, tilawat, and the third being tazkiyah, in other words, purifying. This also becomes the duty of the Nabi. When it becomes the duty of the Nabi, then the ummah has to continue all these three practices: teaching and learning tilawat, teaching and learning the book of Allah, teaching and learning the sunnah, and also purifying. Purifying, like purifying refers to purifying the heart of kufr and shirk, purifying the physical self from all type of impurities, then purifying the soul from all type of spiritual illnesses. And the reason that you purify yourself from all these type of spiritual illnesses is we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though we see Him. And when a person has as natural, as it will be natural, he will have some type of spiritual illnesses. With the spiritual illnesses, then he cannot have the clear vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when his heart is clear, now the vision of Allah ta'ala becomes clearer and clearer. So this only comes in, it only can come when the heart has been cleansed of all type of spiritual maladies and sicknesses. Then from ilmul yaqeen, it will come to aynul yaqeen, as though it is visible. What Allah Pak says of Jannat and Jannam becomes visible. What we hear about Qiyamah, it becomes visible. The presence of Allah Ta'ala becomes like visible, as though we are seeing it ourselves, thereby creating the type of motivation that is needed for continuous action, that it needs to be a consistent plan in all our activities, all our works, whether at a personal level, whether at a public level. So this can only come when there is this type of tazkiyah. This tazkiyah will bring about that consciousness, that everlasting and ever remaining consciousness of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of Qiyamah, the presence of Jannat and Jahannam. It will create the type of motivation that your character and your ways will be good at any given time. This, like ta'lim is required, tilawat is required, then tazkiyah is also required. It's also a requirement. And like for tilawat, you'll need someone to instruct you. Then for ta'lim also, you'll need someone to instruct. And for tazkiyah and the purification of the soul, you will need someone to instruct you. Therefore, Nabi Sosam had encouraged the Sahaba Kiram, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ, that follow Abu Bakr and Umar after me. In other words, he's impressing on the Sahaba that just my Sunnah and the Quran will be insufficient. You will have to follow the one that has specialized in these matters. These people have specialized, so you will take the guide and the cue from them. عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي hold on to my sunnah and the way of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, showing to us that there will be some people that will be dispensing this tazkiyah as well, as there will be people that will be dispensing ta'lim and tilawat, then there will be those that will be dispensing tazkiyah as well. And without this, then the plan of deen is incomplete. When it's incomplete, then there will be an inconsistent plan of deen. One day you are practicing, then the other day you have forgotten. One day you are engaging in ghibat, and the other day you are abstaining. So there won't be the type of consistent plan that is required for the perfection of deen. May Allah give us tawfiq.